KZNZ Cambridge, KZNZ Eden Prairie.
Now it's time for Love Line on Zone 105.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion advised.
Now, here's Love Line.
1-800-LOVE-191.
With Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
Hey, it is Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Also, the fax number 310-854-4455. Adam is not here. He's too big a star. He's at the Academy Awards. Actually, I think he's... Anderson, I can hear you in my headphones. I think he's hosting one of the after parties somewhere. So I hope he's having a good time. But the rest of us will be here tonight, and I look forward to nights like this. I love being alone with you guys. I can chat my ass off if I want, so I'll be in the chat rooms at drdrew.com. If they get too crowded, I'll be looking around in the various rooms. I'm in relationships, and I may not be responding much on the keyboard, but I'll be watching for questions. If you don't get through on the phone lines, can't send faxes through, get into the chat rooms, write a question, I'll try to bring it into the show. So it's just me, it's Loveline. Again, the phone number 1-800-LOVE 191, and maybe we can even burn through a few calls tonight without any, what should we say, unfortunate delays that are often caused by my partner. So let's get to it. This is Sammy, who's 18. Sammy.
Hello.
Hi, Sammy.
Okay. Hi. Okay. This is my question, basically. I'm afraid of having sex.
You're afraid of having sex?
Yes.
Tell me the circumstance.
Well, okay, like, I was a virgin until, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
And, like, I just, like, it scares me. Whenever the guy calls me, like, I don't want to talk to him and stuff. And, like, before that, I was always kind of afraid. And I think I'm, like, kind of afraid of guys in general in a way. But I don't know. I'm just, like, not... I don't know why I'm afraid.
Sammy, I'm not getting anything from you. You had sex for the first time a week ago, right?
Yes.
And was that a bad experience?
No, it was good.
You've always been afraid of guys?
I've always been, like, edgy with guys.
Okay, so there's no difference now with you having had lost your virginity.
Well, there's not in that case, but, like, right after it happened, I threw up. Like, I was that nervous.
Wow. Well, you know, there can be various forms of social phobia that can be kind of subtle. Sometimes people are just very anxious around people their own age, anxious around crowds, anxious around people the opposite sex. But is there anything we should be concerned about in your past, anything that would make it impossible for you to have a stable relationship or difficult?
Well, my parents are divorced.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would...
Yeah, a lot of people deal with that and still are able to kind of break through and have intimacies of various types. And if you listen to this show, it does sometimes add a little chaos to their relationships.
Yeah.
All right, Sammy. I think it's just one of those things. Unless you were completely incapacitated, it's not like I'd recommend medication or therapy or anything. It's just you're 18. You're trying to negotiate who you are in relationships. God's sakes, everybody's anxious at that age about people that are opposite sex. I was a mess. Lisa, 18.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
Good, Lisa. What's up?
Well, I just have a question. I would really like an objective opinion. My husband and
I... All right,
I...
don't do it. What else?
No, can I finish?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. My husband and I are thinking of adding a third person to our relationship.
Okay, there's about... three different things that sort of strike my ear. First of all, you're 18. How old is your husband?
22.
And do you have kids?
None.
Sorry?
None.
Zero kids.
Yeah. No kids.
Hallelujah.
I can't even take care of myself.
Well, we're getting to that. Why is that? Why can't you take care of yourself?
Well, I guess I can. I mean, I don't know.
But I mean, what is it about you? What should I know about you that makes it difficult for you to take care of yourself?
Oh, I could write a book. I don't know. There's...
Well, let's have it. Give us the cliff notes right now.
The cliff note. I've just had a lot of sexual things in my past.
Somebody sexually abused you as a kid?
Well, yeah.
How old were you when you were first sexually abused?
12.
Anything happened before that?
Nothing before that.
How old was the guy at 12?
When
you were 12.
Old.
Like 20?
Older.
40?
About
40-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did that go down?
Well, it was a teacher of mine.
At school?
At school? Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever reported this person?
No. No.
Wouldn't it be appropriate to do that, don't you think?
It's too little too late, I think.
Not. It's been 6 years. Presumably this guy is still a guy?
Yeah.
And presumably this guy is still teaching. Why not try to intervene or at least build a case so if he's going to harm anybody else, you can be there to maybe sort of begin the process of helping other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
First of all, I think you ought to report that. And secondly, why were you such a good victim? Why already did this guy know he can get away with this without you reporting it?
There's nothing that I know of that...
You weren't physically abused?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Nobody ever...
What?
Nobody ever struck you when you were growing up? Hit you?
Not that I can remember. I guess if I tried to put a bobby pin in a light socket, my mom would slap my hand away, but...
But nobody ever smacked you, grabbed an object, hit you with it, anything like that?
No.
And what was the nature of your relationship with your parents?
My parents, they were...
Were they drug addicts?
No.
Were they...
They were psychologists.
They were psychologists. That's interesting. Very interesting. Were they available to you?
I had a lot of brothers and one sister.
How many brothers and sisters?
I had 8 brothers, one sister, and I was the youngest.
So you were sort of lost in the crowd there, huh?
Yeah, I was kind of at the bottom of the totem pole.
Did you grow up feeling very sort of left out and abandoned?
Well, a couple of my brothers had moved out and stuff, so it wasn't that bad.
Did your siblings ever do anything weird to you?
Did my brothers? No.
Anybody? All right, well, listen. The point is you were victimized at 12. Something sort of made you a good victim for this guy because you didn't report him. You thought it was an appropriate choice for you. And it sounds like you've made those sorts of choices in your relationships with men since. Now you've got a husband who's victimizing you again. He's got his own notions of how to sort of spice up his sex life without any concern for how it's going to affect you. I promise you, it's going to have an adverse impact on the intimacy, if there is any, in this relationship with your husband.
There is.
Well, if you want to preserve it, just don't do this. It's a very bad sign that he's pressuring for this. And by the way, you know, you were 18, or how long have you been married?
A year.
He was 21, you were 17. I mean, already, this guy may not have some this stuff out of his system yet. He's not ready to be a husband, perhaps. Or he's just the kind of guy who is going to treat women this way. And you're the kind of person who expects that from men. Let's stop that whole process. It's time. Stop. Stop. Listen, ladies, assert yourself. Women have fantastic instincts for relationships, fantastic instincts for intimacy. Listen to those instincts. Don't read what's in the magazines, what's in Red Book and Cosmo. It's not what's good for you. What's good for you is tuning into what you think that relationship needs, asserting that, and goddamn it, making sure that's what guys deliver before you think about what guys are interested in. Because guys are interested in stuff that can really destabilize relationships, particularly at this age. Mike, 17. Mike?
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
What's going on?
No, not much.
Hang on a second. I just wanted to say I'm looking at this relationship chat room at drdrew.com. It's one word, drdrw.com. And nobody's asking any questions. I mean, people have an opportunity to come in here and put questions up that I can bring up on the air here if they're interested. So take advantage of that. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. There's me and my best friend,
mm-hmm.
and we each have a girlfriend. And, like, I don't know what the thing is, but we both sort of want each other's girlfriends. And I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Yeah, I don't
Goofball.
Know.
Mike, come on.
Well, it's like, okay.
Do you really want me to tell you what to do?
Well,
and by the way, I'm going to show amazing restraint. My whole gig is not being judging people and feeling sorry for people that are preparing to make bad choices, but I'm closing in on being judgmental with you, Mike. How about breaking up with your boyfriend? Your girlfriend, rather.
Oh, come on. My boyfriend?
No, your girlfriend. I beg your pardon. My mistake. But you break up with her, your friend breaks up with his girlfriend, and then you guys date each other's girlfriends.
Oh, well, that would be intense, but it's like I've been with my girlfriend for like 6 months, and we're sort of like attached to each other. And
all right, then commit yourself to that relationship. Yeah, you do smoke a little pot, don't you, Mike?
What's that?
You smoke a little pot?
A little.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
A little every day?
No, not every day.
Every other day.
Every other day?
Yeah.
No, just like, I don't know, a couple times a week maybe.
You think about it every day?
Think about pot?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, Mike. Come on. Either get with this relationship or... I mean, you swap, you're going to hurt these girls, and you're going to lose your friendship.
Yeah.
Okay? That's okay. Going to happen.
Okay.
All right. I'd say lay off the weed. I know Adam loves saying that. But I know it's not realistic. If somebody's addicted to pot, you know, the thing about addiction is you can either stop or you can't. If you can't, you're addicted, and then you need help, or you'll switch to something else. So lay off the pot. I'm almost creating a recipe for somebody switching over to alcohol or speed or something else. Got a relationship in the chat, a question in the chat room finally, which is similar to the first call we had tonight, which is a question about being very nervous in front of the people, whether there's medication available for that. And there is. Some of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Paxil have been advocated for that. But I don't know, young people, you know, some of the deal here is struggling with negotiating development, you know, doing what you're supposed to do in the developmental process, not looking for medication to diminish the experience. Unless you're paralyzed. Bobby's 21. Bobby?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm 39 weeks pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and I've had high blood pressure since I was 8 months.
Oh.
And I'm taking medication for it.
What are you taking?
Methyldopa.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to work all right, but I wanted to know if there's any risk when I go into labor.
Yeah. When you're, are you real swollen, too?
No.
No.
It's not real bad. The highest it's been is 140 over 100.
Well, it's interesting. That's not bad. Aldometer, alpha methyl dopa, which is what that is,
uh-huh.
is an old-time medication, been used for a long time, used in pregnancy. And, yeah, they will be monitoring your blood pressure very carefully. You will be considered a risk pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure they talked to you about eclampsia and preeclampsia and those kinds of things, right?
They've been checking for protein in my urine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and my blood pressure, it goes up and down. It's not always high,
mm-hmm.
but it's been high a few times. And with the medication,
they're controlling it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wanted to know, is there a big chance for me to have a cesarean because of my blood pressure?
Not being an obstetrician, I can't tell you if they would necessarily, increase the risk of that. I would expect not, frankly, because when they're on top of it, it's so easily controlled, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So unless this starts running out of control and doesn't respond to treatment, I would expect not.
Right,
okay?
Don't.
It sounds like things are going well.
Okay, and one more question?
Yeah.
Okay, it was about castor oil.
Yeah.
And a lot of people told me I should take it.
For what?
To go into labor.
I've never heard that before. Who are you hearing this stuff from?
The lady in my Lamaze class, she didn't tell me to take it. She told me not to take it. But she said that it's supposed to put you in labor and that I shouldn't take it. And I just wondered if that would be bad for the baby.
I don't know that it does much of anything, frankly. But you talk to your obstetrician, will you?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
This is Rose. Rose 18.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I'm sorry. It's a bit awkward. Actually, that's an understatement. It's very awkward. I've gone with like two guys throughout my whole years, and
Rose, hold on a second. I for some reason, you're barely comprehensible. So slow down speaking to that phone.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, so far my relationship with guys hasn't been too much of anything because I don't feel anything like when we kiss or touch or anything like that. It's just like
you don't get aroused.
No, I know I'm supposed to or something, but I don't, and I was
not. Have you ever gone through a period in your life where you were very aroused?
No, not that I recall, no. I just thought there's probably something wrong because everyone else around me tends to talk about it more so.
Anything happen to you that would make you sort of aversive to sex?
No.
Anything ever happened to you that I should know about? Any weird stuff happened to you growing up?
No, not at all. I had a very nice upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Not better than others.
Okay. And do you have any medical problems?
No.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Have you been with guys you really are into?
I mean, yeah, I liked them in the beginning. Yeah, I think they're handsome and whatever. But every time I like kiss them, I don't feel anything. It's like I'm supposed to, but I don't. And
I just wonder, and you're otherwise, you have normal development, that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Everything's normal?
Yes.
Medically?
Yes.
I would, you have normal hair distribution, all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
I would think you'd want to get a medical evaluation just to check out to make sure that everything is functioning. Were your periods are normal?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I just don't know. That's probably, something's wrong with me.
Well, I feel something's wrong. I can't know, Rose, okay? I can't tell what's going on.
Right.
But if I were a betting man, I would bet it's that you haven't really connected with the right person yet.
Okay.
Okay? Is that possible?
It probably so. I wouldn't know because, at first I think guys are, I think they're handsome or whatever, but whenever I get into a relationship with them.
Well, but maybe handsome, being sort of attracted at a distance and being intimate with somebody can be two different things. And again, guys, you know, men, women, and to a varying degree, women are very, very mixed bag, but understand that they are sometimes not responsive the way our culture would lead them to believe they should be. That is to say, the way guys are, the way the guys are sort of turned on by images and pictures and sort of symbols of sexuality. The guys are into that. Guys respond to that, almost without exception. Women may not respond to that. Women may not think that's the thing for them. Or if they do respond to it, it may only go so far. It's much, much, much more about the connection, much more about the relationship. And God bless them for being that way. David, 17. David?
Yeah, I had my first blowjob, about a month ago. And it was really good and all. She did it pretty well, but I didn't orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, what's wrong?
Well, some guys don't with that action.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe it was just the anxiety of that moment. Most guys, here's another little known fact. Most guys, I wouldn't say, most may not be the right word. A lot of guys, a big percentage, will have difficulty functioning this sort of first time out in a sexual experience. Whether it's with a woman that they're real involved with or not, it's very common for there to be some difficulty.
Okay. I didn't know if I was masturbating too much or...
Are you?
I don't know how much is too much. Every day?
That's all right. It's about average.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you have some concern about that, you can always slow down. All right, I got some questions in the chat room here. Problems with boundaries with my girlfriend. You got to ask questions that I can answer, easily. This is very interesting. Oh, damn, I got to get this thing to scroll up here. I was raped so many times, I can't seem to stop putting myself in those situations. I'm medicated, I'm bipolar, post-traumatic stress disturbance. I want to stop. That's sort of an overwhelming question. How does somebody who's been victimized their whole life develop a completely different sense of themselves? And how do you learn how to regulate an internal world that's been disrupted by other people rather than been developed or structured by having the availability of an empathic other? It's stay in treatment, take your medication. Let's see here. We've got a second here. Greg. Greg is 17.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Let you know, I love the show. It's given me a lot of helpful advice and information.
Good idea.
I've got a question about my sperm. Whenever I masturbate, sometimes it'll come out. It's never perfectly white. It'll sometimes be a light shade of yellow. Sometimes it's clear. There was a little while back in my, when I was, in junior high, where if I wouldn't do it for more than a week, sometimes I would see a little brown in it. I was wondering, what's that all about?
Yikes.
Brown, that sort of color is usually old blood. And for men to have a certain discoloration, a certain amount is normal. I think you're just describing the sort of normal discoloration. I wouldn't worry about it. This is Ed, 22. Ed.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
Okay, this is Dr. Drew, right?
That's right.
Okay, I got out of prison about 11 months ago.
You got out of prison?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, good news, huh?
Yeah.
I'm 22 years old, and since I've been out, I was 17 when I got locked up.
Why?
And,
why
I never really had a whole lot of experience dating or anything like that.
Why were you locked up?
I beat somebody a little worse than I had planned on doing. What I've noticed is since I've been out, I've dated a few times and had a couple offers, but it seems like the girls that are attracted to me and the ones that I seem to end up, hanging out with or doing anything with are kind of on the nutty side. And it's not exactly what I was looking for.
What do you mean?
I really don't have a measuring stick.
Whoa, you're talking in code. What do you mean?
What? Oh, no, the girls I seem to that seem to be attracted to me.
Yeah.
And the ones I seem to be able to, you know, take out, do whatever with, they're not stable emotionally for the most part.
All right.
And I'm really not too sure on what stable would be so much because I really don't have any experience with women.
So you keep attracting unstable women.
Yeah.
And you keep responding to them too, right? You go out with them.
That is correct, sir.
All right, yeah, this is a pretty complex problem. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. We're going to go on to commercials here. It is Dr. Drew. It is Loveline. The number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm here by myself. Adam is out at one of the Academy Awards parties. God bless him. Hope he's having a good time. Because I love these nights when I'm here by myself, just with the callers, and we will burn through a bunch of calls. We'll get back to Ed just after this.
We'll be right back with more.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Gabby's presents the Twin Cities official South Park Wednesday.
Maybe I can lure into a night of exotic delectation.
Head to Gabby's every Wednesday night starting at 8:30. Upstairs, a $3 cover gets you 50-cent taps all night long and a free taco bar until the end of South Park. And after the show, Gabby's opens up the dance floor and takes you back to the 80s. Plus, they give away cash every half hour from 10 until midnight, and you'll keep enjoying those 50-cent taps. Your official South Park headquarters is Gabby's. Join me, Brian Oak, this Wednesday night at Gabby's, located on the hip northeast side of Minneapolis, just north of Broadway on Marshall, right on the Mississippi. South Park Wednesdays at Gabby's, brought to you by Comedy Central, Media One, Bianchi Rossi Tours, and Gabby's Saloon and Eatery.
Ladies, when you need to add to your jewelry wardrobe, it's worth your while to come to the Shane Company. Our selection of pendants, earrings, bracelets, and rings is the largest in the state. Our buyers make sure that our jewelry complements itself, so you can build by adding a piece at a time. Whether you want white or yellow gold or platinum, we carry many unique styles, as well as what you'll find in the department stores or other jewelers. Our quality will be noticeably better, both the stones and the finish of the jewelry. You'll be guaranteed a lifetime of pleasure with jewelry from the Shane Company. Feel free to browse. There's never any pressure to buy. We'll make sure your visit is pleasant, and our selection will make your time well spent when you do wish to purchase.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company. In Minnetonka at 394 and Hopkins Crossroad, and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5.
If you want to work for a big internet company, you got to move to Silicon Valley, right? Actually, no. There's a big new Silicon Valley-type internet company right here in the Twin Cities. It's called March 1st, and they've got tons of jobs for people with creative, technical, and strategic internet experience. Now, you probably think any second the cheesy recruitment spot disco music is going to start. Then you'll start hearing words like career advancement and opportunity of a lifetime, and they'll ask you to join their winning team. Finally, they'll try and lure you in with their world-class short-term disability plan, as if that's what you've been looking for all along. Fact is, March 1st is the only Silicon Valley-type internet company in town. Probably haven't heard of them yet, but you've heard of their clients. Apple, Harley-Davidson, eBay, Williams-Sonoma. Don't worry if the idea of working with Fortune 100 clients puts butterflies in your stomach. It should. Just means you're ready for something new, something bigger. Means you're ready for March 1st. Give them a call, 612-745-3158. That's 612-745-3158.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run... with those scissors.
It's the least you can do.
Hi, it's Billy of Zone 105, and these are the Zone Files. Beck was injured last week during a concert in London, and the singer had to be rushed to the hospital. Beck collided with his bassist during the encore and accidentally rammed his chest into the bass guitar. Beck hurt his ribs, but was treated by doctors, released, and is said to be doing just fine. Beck did not miss any concert time due to the injury. The singer is touring Europe in support of Midnight Vultures and will return to the States next month to start a U.S. tour. The Zone Files from Vizzy.com, because your business is online. And alternative classics, Zone 105.
Wayne Newton, Tom Jones, and Cher. Three alternatives to good taste.
Luckily, they're all on vacation right now.
Which is good, because you're going to Vegas to see Bush.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Zone 105 wants to send you on an alternative classic vacation to Las Vegas to see Bush. Just email, fax, or send Zone 105 a postcard with your three favorite Zone artists. Brian and Mary will draw a winner at random. Bush in Las Vegas from Northwest Airlines, taking Minnesota to over 750 cities around the world. And alternative classics, Zone 105.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Groom.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105.
Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam is out, and I'm by myself, and it's my favorite way to do this show, strangely enough. The number, 1-800-LOVE-191. The fax, 310-854-4455. Thank you for the coffee. And the fax, any faxes coming in? Danielle's doing a great job tonight trying to keep up with me with the calls. We actually get through calls when I'm by myself, strangely enough. And the chat room, it's drdrew.com, drdrew.com. I'm right now in the relationship chat room, but I'm going to start scanning the other chat rooms. And what I'm looking for is questions. And actually, I was able to go through some of the stuff that people had posted during the commercial break. Indeed, there were some interesting questions there. Very simply, somebody asked about what a varicocele is, which is basically a cyst in the testy. It feels like a growth in there. They do potentially impact on fertility and can cause pain and symptoms. They're often surgically simply removed. Repressed memories was another question. People sort of asked my opinion on repressed memories. I don't believe in digging repressed memories. I think you can end up with a lot of artifact that way. I think in the process of just sort of properly done connected psychotherapy, the memories that can be tolerated will come up and they'll be processed in that context. Dredging something up through hypnosis or God knows what other means, I don't really does much. And there was someone named Nina who was talking about feeling abandoned after having left a boyfriend, or boyfriend left her when he found out she was pregnant, and that was sort of, I want to know more about that, but that kind of falls under no duh. Ed, 22, Ed.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey, by the way, Doc.
Hey.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you, you're a whole hell of a lot better than this than Adam is.
Thank you.
Kiss my hairy ass.
He still lurks around here, though. And I actually expect he'll call in if we get a little too carried away with gloating at his absence.
Okay, he's probably kind of popular with people my age, but I don't know.
Listen, deal is, you've been out of prison. You were in prison for 5 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? And you're attracting women that you think are unstable. Are you sort of tatted up and pierced up and that kind of stuff?
Not at all.
Not at all. And what do you...
I dress kind of on the conservative side for someone my age. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. And what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
Yeah.
Well, I've been doing a lot of bartending. And besides that, some pool maintenance.
Maybe you want to sort of focus on where you're meeting people. You know what I mean?
Well, I pretty much don't worry about anything like that while I'm working, especially bartending. But a lot of it seems to be social.
But it sounds like you want to sort of change your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I made sure I'm in a totally different area than I was before I got locked up.
And how are you sort of feeling about yourself and other people? It really sounds like you have sort of an antisocial streak going there, right? You're really pissed off all the time. And
No, not really. I mean, I'm a lot more easygoing than I was before I went in.
But that's what I mean. You probably pretty had difficulty with authority and angry and pissed. Just out of curiosity, were you sort of manhandled when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
People beat you up. Somebody beat you up.
Yeah.
What happened?
Had an unstable. Well, I'm an army brat,
yeah.
I guess. And, I got smacked around quite a bit when I was younger. You know, until I got a little bit big enough to start throwing back.
It's interesting. It sort of reminds you of American Beauty.
I've never seen it.
It's just won Best Picture, coincidentally enough.
Isn't it good?
Yeah. So
now that's That's about the sum total of...
You know, you can... It's a tough thing to change when you had those sorts of traumas etched into your brain chemistry. You know, you've been...
Yeah, well, I'm not a violent person for the most part. I've never hit a girl or anything like that.
Yeah, but you have that in you. You have that rage in you, that piece of you that can blow up, I'm sure. And you have to find other ways, A, to channel that, but B, more importantly, to realize that the whole world is not your dad.
Oh, I mean, I kind of know that, sir.
I'm not either. Don't call me sir.
Okay.
But it seems like I suspect that you still carry some of that with you, and that's why you're attracting people that like that kind of antisocial sort of instinct in somebody. You know.
Okay.
And if you really want to change, you have to change who you relate to, how you relate to people, and your willingness to connect and take input from authority, and just change your sense of yourself, which I think you're doing. It sounds like you're really there with it, but it takes time. It's not as though it's going to happen all at once. And interestingly, the more you evolve, the more you're able to do that, the healthier the people are you're going to attract, and the more successful you're going to be in relationships. This is Melissa, 14. Melissa.
Hey, I was reading this article in a magazine that said, like, if your parents haven't given you the sex talk, then you're more likely to sleep around and start having sex at younger ages.
I don't know that that's been documented, but I do know that if you haven't established some sort of dialogue with your parents by the time you're 12, you probably aren't going to. And then you're going to start relying on things like MTV and Cosmopolitan to make help you make choices. And nothing could be worse.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you.
That's it?
Well, that's all I wanted to know.
Nobody had the talk with you?
No, I never got the talk.
Did they have any kind of talk with you?
No, just like little videos in school.
Could you go to your parents and talk about stuff that's important to you?
I don't really feel comfortable talking to them about that.
Is there any adult, any aunt or older sibling or anybody else?
My older brother.
Why don't you start somewhere with somebody that really cares about you and you can trust and who you can really begin a dialogue with, so at least someone is helping you negotiate all this.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Hi.
This is Sarah, 19. Sarah.
Hi. Yeah. First, I just wanted to tell you, this is so funny, but you know how you guys always say about the people who listen to the show and everything? But, like, doctors and therapists recommend that we listen to you.
Oh, it's good.
All the time. And they listen to you, too.
I'm delighted.
We talk to you guys all the time.
You don't know how... You have no idea how happy that makes me, Sarah.
Oh, I'm serious. And I was in... I had gone through a program, like a partial program, partial hospitalization program,
mm-hmm.
and one of the counselors, one of the psychologists, actually watches your show on MTV because he thinks so highly of you.
Oh my God.
He likes to see how you react.
Oh, my God.
Because he really enjoys watching you so much.
Well, you know, aside from the fact that it's a huge endorsement, and it means that we're accomplishing what I set out to accomplish, which is really just help people.
Yeah, but make sure you stay there.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, good.
But
I always worry about that. I'm like, oh, my God, he has a family and kids. He's going to leave.
No, I am the most grateful guy you ever met. I love doing what I do. And,
oh.
and how much better does it get than being able to serve young people, see a need for change, have some information that can help them, practice your craft in interesting environments, meet interesting people, and just have no other goal than to do good. It just doesn't get better than that.
For calculus.
All right. Jesus, it's so funny. I have such a characteristic emotional reaction when I hear his voice. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh,
no.
He may drive me out, but I don't expect him to. But most importantly, and here this is the other thing I like about what you're telling me, which is that people that work with young people get it. They know what we're dealing with. They know what's going on with young people, and they know what's got to be done.
Yeah.
And that's what I appreciate, is that people that work with young people supporting us and moving out themselves and using media and using print, using whatever they can to help change the culture that you guys are coming into.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
anyway.
Yeah, they really do. They really push for it. What else was I going to say? Yeah, but my therapist always recommends it. You've helped me so much.
Okay.
Whenever I go on, I was just dating a bad guy, I always think, he would say, like, really critical things to me. I'd be like, Dr. Drew would say it, that's bad. He shouldn't be saying that about me if he cares about me.
That's good.
So, you're always in the back of my mind telling me things.
Good.
So
keep me there.
I will. I have a question, though.
Yeah.
I kind of did make a boo-boo. I had unprotected sex last week.
A boo-boo.
My boyfriend, who I just broke up with.
Yeah. How long ago?
I was on the pill, and I wasn't really responsible with it. Like, I would forget to take it.
Yeah.
And I did go to get the morning after pill,
which
I learned from you. And they gave me, I got it actually like 28 hours later.
Okay. That's good.
Is that okay?
That's excellent.
They gave me Ovret. Ovrette, O-V-R-E-T-T.
Ovrette, yeah,
Okay, they gave me 20 pills to take.
Uh-huh.
And then they told me to take 20 in 12 hours from that. But the thing is...
It's interesting, that's sort of the criticism of using those low-dose levonorgestrel pills is that there's so many, you have to take so many.
Right.
Anyway.
But the thing is I know my gynecologist knew I was on some medication, but she didn't know the new medication that I was put on. And I was wondering if it had anything, like if it interfered with it, because I'm on so much. I'm on Depakote and lithium. And then they had me on Celexa, Wellbutrin, and also my phenobarbital.
Wow.
And that was, I've called before. Adam always makes fun of how many I'm on. Wow. But yeah, because.
You sound great, though.
What?
You sound great.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better. So that's why they keep me on.
I remember you. You weren't on this much last time we talked to you.
No.
You were thinking about getting on meds or something, or they were recommending it, and you were out of control. Right?
No, well, for a couple months. I've been out of control.
Yeah.
Like, I was abused when I was a kid.
Right.
And Adam was talking because I was, like, really suicidal, thinking about jumping off a dam. And Adam went off on the... He's like, Drew, they don't kill themselves by jumping off a dam. And then I was on medication, and I was... My boyfriend is 29, had the kids, and I called and I said that I didn't want to see the kids, but he wanted me to meet them.
Wow.
So, but... Yeah, it's going okay, but does that interfere at all?
Well, here's what's interesting, is it may, and certainly it could interfere with the birth control pill taken properly, the way it's supposed to be taken, right?
Okay.
Okay, but I've never heard of gynecologists making a big issue of it significantly changing the efficacy of the morning after pill.
Okay.
In other words, when you're trying to go for 100%,
uh-huh.
And something's going to take it down to 96%, that's a big deal.
Okay.
But when you're shooting for 75% and something takes it down to 68%,
uh-huh.
People may not make a big deal out of that.
Oh, okay.
And the fact that you took it within 24 hours already put you up into the 80-90% range anyway.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So you did everything you could. I bet it'll work out just fine.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Robert, 18.
Yeah, hi. I just found out I have ringworm, and...
Ew.
Yeah, really. And I don't wrestle or anything, and I haven't been working out recently.
Where is it?
It's on my arm.
Yeah. Oh. It's very common. No big deal. It's just a fungus.
I was wondering, how could I have gotten it, how can I get rid of it?
Well, who diagnosed it?
My doctor.
Well, didn't he give you something for it?
No, he didn't give me a prescription. He just said take some Lotrimin.
Lotrimin, that's all you need, Lotrimin. Lotrimin, and if it's inflammatory or itchy, you can get some Cortate and, alternate Lotrimin and Cortate. It goes away. No big deal.
Okay, and I've heard that it stays in your blood.
No.
Permanently?
No.
Okay, I feel a lot better.
No big deal. Just get your Lotrimin. That's why you didn't make a big deal out of it.
Okay.
All right?
And also, another thing, when I ejaculate, it doesn't like spray out. It just oozes out. Is that normal? Or
it's normal for you.
Is there something wrong?
Are you doing it all the time? Are you masturbating all the time?
No, that's the thing.
No, don't worry about that. That's normal. This is Chris, 22.
Chris, hey, how you doing?
Good, Chris.
How are you?
I'm good. You can go now.
Okay. I've been seeing this guy that I work with for about 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and he finally decided to break off with me after I found out that he had a girlfriend at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there is a way that I can steal him away from her.
Diabolical. All right, Chris, hold on a second. We got to go to commercial break here. I am going to, I'm going to go pee, Anderson, but as soon as I get back from that, I'm going to sit in front of the computer here and look at the chat room at drdrew.com, drdrew.com. I'm trying to get everybody to distribute over the various chat rooms so we don't all get packed into the relationship chat room. And if you have questions, post them up there, and I'll try to watch for them. I'll try to check them out and bring them up on the show. So far, we've had 3 or 4 interesting ones, and try to keep them at sort of 1 or 2 sentences so I can... don't have to tell an entire miniseries here on the air, and I'll try to get your answers and questions. And in the meantime, the number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I haven't seen any faxes yet. I don't know if we're getting them. Again, I'm here in the chat rooms watching, and it's Love Line. We'll be back with Chris after this.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, it's worth hearing.
This is Adam
Carolla. This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
The beauty of the human form. The contours and curves of a well-defined shape, following the symmetry and angular proportions. This is the human body.
to be appreciated and celebrated.
Exactly. Just as the man said, the human body needs to be appreciated, and gentlemen, there's no better place to do that than Rick's Cabaret. Rick's is the Twin Cities' premier upscale gentlemen's club. Rick's Cabaret offers you only the finest in entertainment, libations, and Epicurean delights. But for those of you who need that translated, beautiful women, the best in cocktails, and fantastic food. Rick's Cabaret offers you a great time and a relaxed, comfortable atmosphere. Join us at Rick's Cabaret for our incredible lunch buffet served from 11 to 2, featuring prime rib on Wednesdays. After you've satiated your appetite, sit back and enjoy one of our fine cigars. Don't miss our amateur night contest with $350 in cash and prizes. Rick's Cabaret in downtown Minneapolis, located at 3rd and 3rd, is your adult entertainment destination. Call 612-321-0488 for more details at rickscabaret.com.
Rick's, voted number one gentleman's club by City Pages.
I have something that will take away every concern you've ever had about buying a diamond engagement ring. I'm Doug Spence, and when you purchase your engagement and wedding rings from Spence Diamonds in Roseville or Bloomington, you not only get the very best selection and value, but you get an ironclad guarantee as well. Spence Diamonds has grown steadily over the years by not only providing you with exceptional value, but by giving you the most comprehensive written guarantee in the business. When you walk out the door at Spence Diamonds, you'll feel satisfied about your decision, and you'll feel confident in knowing that we back up everything we say in writing. When you're 100% satisfied with your diamond purchase, our job is done, but not until then. Come see Spence Diamonds in Roseville or Bloomington for unmatched diamond value and guaranteed peace of mind.
Minnesota's leading bridal diamond destinations, Spence Diamonds. In Roseville on County B2 near Snelling, right across from Rosedale Center. And in Bloomington on Lindale, just south of the 494. Shop weeknights till 8, weekends till 5.
Are you happy with your current job? If not, listen up. Adecco and Alston have merged to form the world's largest staffing service company. That means more job opportunities, more benefits, and more locations. Adecco now has 11 convenient Twin Cities locations in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Edina, Arden Hills, New Hope, and Roseville, with locations opening soon in Uptown, Shakopee, and Eagle. What they're trying to tell you is no matter where you live or where you may be moving to, Adecco has an office nearby. Whether you're looking for clerical, light industrial, assembly, or word processing, Adecco has great employment opportunities just waiting for qualified applicants like you. Just listen to some of the companies Adecco is currently hiring for. U.S. Bank, Hennepin County, the U, and the St. Paul companies. Whether it's full-time or part-time employment you're looking for, Adecco has exciting positions available. Call Adecco at 612-335-8000. That's 612-335-8000. Or stop into any of their 11 convenient Twin Cities locations. And let Adecco help you find that new career you've been hoping for.
Hey, if you're seeking a change, apply today to join the outstanding team of professional health care providers at Merit Care Hospital in Fargo. Merit Care Hospital in Fargo, North Dakota has an immediate opening for a registered nurse who possesses supervisory experience for an occupational health nursing coordinator position. They offer competitive starting salaries with generous benefits for both full and part-time employees. Call the Merit Care job line today, 1-800-437-4010, extension 2341, or apply online at meritcare.com. Merit Care Fargo, where you can make a difference.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105.
Question in one of the chat rooms, somebody was given orthocycline instead of orthotricycline, and the pharmacist told them to go ahead and take it for a couple of days, which they can do that before they switch to the tricycline, which is the thing that sort of more normally mimics the triphasic cycling of one's hormonal cyclings. So there you go. We were talking to Chris. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew Adams, away at the Academy Awards. Chris.
Hello. How you doing, Dr. Drew?
I'm good. I'm great, actually. I wish we had sort of Academy Award nights once a week or so. Adam can go ahead and take a break, and I love doing this.
Yeah, you get a night all to yourself.
What's that?
Get a night all to yourself, right?
Yeah, get a lot done, more importantly. We get two of you guys. What's up?
Okay, I work for a pretty big company, and I started working there in the beginning of January.
And you dated a guy that worked there.
Yeah, I'm dating a guy that I work with.
You were dating him, and then you found out he had a girlfriend the whole time?
Yeah, when we started talking, he told me that he was living with his baby's mother for the sake of the kid, and that he was sleeping on the couch. Well, come to find out, the only time we slept on the couch was when she was mad at him.
Yeah, listen, being the other woman sucks.
Yes, it really does.
Right? And one thing about guys that keep other women, they keep other women. You know what I'm saying? You become the main woman. He still keeps other women.
Yeah. know.
Cheaters cheat. That's one thing I learned from doing this show.
See, that's the whole thing. I asked him if he'd ever done anything. He swore to me up and down he didn't. I still have my reservations on that.
How old is he now?
He's 27, I think.
Well, look, he's got a woman, a girlfriend with a child, right? Come on.
They've been together for like 5 years.
Oh, come on. I mean, maybe it's an awful relationship or something, but guys don't cheat the way women do. Women cheat because the relationship sucks. Guys cheat because there's an opportunity, and they're either a-holes, they feel they can get away with it, or they don't care, or they have their own sort of emotional issues they're acting out. But the predominant thing is they can't. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything about the relationship, so they're going to lead women to believe the relationship sucks.
Right.
And it probably does, because those are the kinds of guys that can't establish good relationships anyway. And what is it with you, Chris, that you can't have a good relationship? You would want to be the other woman.
No, it's not that. I don't want to be the other woman. That's
yeah, but your opening volley with me was, how do I get the guy back? How do I steal this guy away? Which, of course, he'll never leave the other
woman. Well, that's even worth it.
It's not worth it. Of course it's not. Well, he's with that woman, and that's where he's going to stay. And he's the cheating guy. He's that guy. Have you been with guys that are sort of unavailable in the past?
Off and on, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I seem to attract them.
Did your dad take off when you were a kid?
My parents have been split up since I was, I don't know, like 6 months old.
And did you ever have a relationship with your dad?
Yeah, I see him off and on. He was out of state, so when he comes...
Wait a minute, Chris, that is not a relationship with one's father.
Well, I used to live with him.
When was that?
Grade school up till... my sophomore year, and then I moved back with my mom.
And why weren't you living with your mom?
Because I had my stepdad there, and he wasn't real fond of me.
And what was he like?
He was into drugs back in those days, and he was kind of a jerk.
So he was a drug addict, and he was abusive?
I don't know about that. I don't remember a whole lot before 7th grade, so I couldn't honestly tell you.
Okay, so you understand how you're set up to... Your sense of yourself in relation to men... is not a particularly, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a particularly kind or easy kind of a position to be in, right?
I guess, yeah.
Well, you know you were living with your dad from grade school till how old?
I was kind of back and forth the whole time.
Yeah.
They had, like, visitation or whatever. But
what was your dad like?
He was cool. He's like, doting daddy, you know, that type of thing.
And why did he let you go back?
Because I decided when I was about 15 that I didn't want to live with him anymore, that I wanted to go live with my mom.
Why?
Because he was very strict, and my mom was a little more laid back.
Was your mom a drug addict, too?
No.
Alcoholic?
Mm-mm.
Yeah?
Straight as can be.
Was her dad an alcoholic? Was her dad an alcoholic?
Her dad, not as far as I know.
Check that out. Something was up with her dad, too. The common pattern is people who are parents of alcoholics either becoming the alcoholic addict and marrying an alcoholic addict, or at least just marrying the alcoholic addict. Okay? And so you expect that history to be this. But anyway, you understand that you got some issues. Mm-hmm. Why don't you work on working those out instead of trying to seek out romantic relationships that basically recapitulate that old sense of yourself in relation to men?
My whole thing is, I know he's probably really not worth my time.
He's not.
But I still care. See, I'm falling for him. That's the part that's
Chris, left. You have to be very skeptical of men you are attracted to. You are going to be attracted to abusive and or unavailable men, period. That's what you're going to find attractive.
Okay, then how do I break it?
Treatment. You have to get some sort of therapy. Seriously. Unless you can try walk. Here's the way you break it. Okay, I have an excellent recommendation for you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called A General Theory of Love out there. Okay.
General Theory of Love.
Go read it. It's an excellent book, and there's several good books out there that might help. Another one will be Codependent No More. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You go read these books and see if you can establish some friendships with people who are really unconditionally available for you, and if you can go into the sort of the romantic marketplace and find guys you're not particularly excited and attracted by, but guys that you can connect with and have a relationship with and see if you can hang with that.
Okay.
And if you're able to deal with the feelings that come with that, then you will grow and then things will get better. If you can't, then you got to move on. You've got to get some help. Shelby, 14. Shelby.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering if it's normal if guys, like, okay, I had oral sex with my boyfriend for the first time, like, just with me, and I was wondering if it's normal if guys twitched a little bit.
Yeah, you were doing that to him?
Yeah.
Like, is that what kids are doing your age? Is that sort of the thing right now?
Yes.
Or are you a little bit advanced?
Compared to some people, I think I'm normal.
You're normal?
Yeah.
Yeah, guys will twitch. Guys will do all kinds of strange
things. Yeah, and is that, like, a good thing?
That's a good thing.
It is?
It's a good thing if you were 19, it'd be a good thing. At 14, I can't understand how it can be a good thing. What does that do, Shelby, if you don't mind pushing me a little bit, what does that do for you?
I don't know.
Think about it. Anything?
I don't know.
Why do it, then?
I guess I just wanted to try it.
Is it the first time you've done that?
Yeah.
That's all you can say? Just curiosity?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's normal to twitch, okay?
Yeah.
Good luck,
okay.
Shelby.
Okay,
slow down, all right?
Okay.
Please? For me?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a hemorrhage. I'm going to start twitching if you guys keep this up. Hey, a question in the chat room. A guy with screen name Rollman asks, my father's death certificate says he died of hemorrhagic pancreatitis. What causes that? Well, pancreatitis can be caused by a lot of things, virus, medication, but most typically alcohol. And hemorrhagic pancreatitis, bleeding into the abdomen is a complication of certain kinds of pancreatitis. So there you go. Let's get to Willow, 19. Willow?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Not much.
You hear me?
I hear you.
All right, cool. One of my best friends has become, like, a really good friend lately. And, I mean, he just got out of a relationship everybody was telling him to get out of because, I mean, the girl was using him and she's bad news and he just didn't see it and finally he saw it. Well, he's going out with this girl he knows and he knows as well as I do that she has HIV. And, I mean, dude's, like, crazy for, you know, he's always hitting it with somebody.
How do you know she has HIV?
She told everybody, like, that she cares about.
And so he's dating her? He's sleeping with her?
He's dating her right now. And, I mean, it's inevitable that they're going to, you know.
And he knows she has HIV?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't care?
He plans on using a condom, but I don't know if that's enough. And I don't know how to tell him because I just basically told him to get out of the last relationship he was in because she was bad news and everybody was telling him that.
So this is another bad news situation.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I'm like trying to block him off and stuff.
No, just, I mean, I always hate the idea that you're going to ask somebody to leave a connected relationship with an HIV patient because they have HIV. I mean, I'm not in favor of people abandoning people with HIV. On the other hand, it sounds like this guy will sort of go for any port in the storm, and this one just happens to have HIV, and he's just going to keep going for it. He's just completely impulsive and doesn't really get the idea of consequences from his behavior. And, Will, all you can do is really talk to him about it and really try to get him to wake up a little bit. I, if he's in the relationship with this woman, it's up to him to sort of maintain that relationship and find risk reduction measures, but he's still obviously at risk. And if it's just that he's, again, sort of acting out, looking for sex anywhere, and this just happens to be his latest conquest, he's not doing anything for himself or her in that case. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The show is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew, and I'm without Adam tonight. He's at the Academy Awards. We are about to take a break. I will be in the chat room. Right now I'm in relationships at drdrew.com, drdrew.com, and I'll try to chat a little bit during the break. And then during the show, watch the chat rooms. If you have any questions, you can post them up, and I'll try to bring them into the show here. Fax number 310-854-4455. I couldn't be happier to be by myself. I hope you guys are having a good time, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
How low can they go? It's Superstore clearance time. Going on now at Sex World. For a limited time, Sex World drop and trial. Oh, with great deals on a huge selection of adult videos. Named brand stuff. Today's hottest superstars. Full length, uncut. Three for just $19.99. Need more? Take four. Four packs of hot XXX action are an unbelievable $29.99. Videos, DVDs, adult toys, and more. It's all gotta go to make room for the
the truckloads that are on their way. Lingerie, clothing, shoes, and sportswear. Something for everyone.
Is there something for me?
Yeah, even you, Granny. Sex World's got it, and it's priced to sell. Check out the deals on two packs of Sex Inc. magazine. Page after page of homegrown talent. The Real Girls Next Door. Two for just $7.99. With prices like these, they won't last long. Hurry in for best selection. Superstore clearance time at Sex World. 241 2nd Avenue North in the Warehouse District. Downtown Minneapolis. Sex World featuring live booth girls 24 hours a day. Is this a great country or what?
Hello, I'm Nippy Free.
And that means I'm Skip Storm.
And welcome to the Ski Grand Prix. Skip, it's a beautiful day for racing and the slopes are looking perfectly groomed.
You said it, Nippy. Oh, and speaking well groomed, there's slalom champ Greg Myers. So that is one bad case of chapped lips, Nippy. Or is that a red beard and mustache?
Hey, look, there's mogul champ Dusty Peaks. Looks like she applied her lipstick during a run.
Whoops.
Wait, that's another red beard and mustache.
Nippy, you thinking what I'm thinking? Looks like the captain was here.
Skip, that rogue is strictly freestyle.
Yeah, must have found a crowd sipping some Captain Morgan original spice rum toddies by the old fire.
That's right, Skip. Then he left his mark right on their faces.
Hey, celebrity sighting. It's screen star Mick Jackelson in the crowd.
Ooh.
And no one even recognizes him.
Oh, boy, he should hook up with the captain. Then he'd draw a crowd.
Oh, I'm not so sure, Nip. You see his latest movie?
Ooh, Skip, the wind's not the only thing biting today.
Oh, I'm tough, Nippy.
Captain Morgan original spiced rum. Mick, straight up or on the rocks. The captain was here. Puerto Rican rum with spice and other natural flavors. 1999, Captain Morgan Rum Company, Baltimore, Maryland. Enjoy our quality responsibly, but don't drink if you're under 21. Visit Captain Morgan at rum.com.
We get more at Bobby's Brooklyn Park. Superstore, 7-4 collection. And don't forget all the satisfaction, yeah.
All right, honey, we're not going to test drive anything. And remember, no eye contact.
Oh, this is a nice car, but it's how much?
Welcome to Ernie's Car Files. Can I help you?
Yeah, how much for a down payment on this one?
Well, how much you got?
Most people would rather go to the dentist than buy a new car. At Maury's Brooklyn Park Superstore, they do everything possible to make the customer feel comfortable. They are the zero-down anytime store. Zero down with interest rates as low as 2.9%. See why Maury's Brooklyn Park Superstore is the fastest-growing dealership in town. Check out the huge selection of all-wheel drive Subarus, Outbacks, Foresters, and Imprezas. Only at Maury's Brooklyn Park Superstore, 7875 Brooklyn Boulevard.
Maury's Brooklyn Park Superstore.
If you're experienced in information systems, Metamore Industry Solutions has an opportunity for you.
Hi, I'm Robin, and I'm a senior consultant in the QA testing practice at Metamore Industry Solutions. In addition to great benefits, compensation, and overtime pay, Metamore Industry Solutions offers me continuing education and training. And here's the best part. I have the opportunity to develop skills that match the career path of my choice.
Hello, I'm Todd. I'm also a consultant at Metamore Industry Solutions. I work with a dynamic group of professionals providing a solutions-based spectrum of information systems consulting. It's great to work at a company that is recognized as one of the most admired IT consulting companies in America.
Metamore Industry Solutions is a total solutions provider with outstanding salaries, benefits, and training opportunities. They currently have demand for QA testing analysts, application architects and developers, system analysts, logical data modelers, technical architects, and project managers. To learn more, call Bob Schmidt at 651-642-2100. That's 642-2100. Or email your resume to bob.schmidt at metamore-is.com.
Zone 105 with 20 years of alternative classics all on one station.
What? What?
Come on, it's a nice day for a white wedding.
Plus, Zone 105 kicks off your workday with 105 minutes of commercial-free Zone music at 9 a.m. just after Brian Oak and Mary Lucia. Then, join Zone 105 for the flashback lunch at noon and the flashbacks at 5 for your ride home. 20 years of alternative classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
We're smack in the middle of the zone.
Oh, wow.
105.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-1910. Just fooling around in the chat room. Someone asked, do you consider Adam a friend? It's like, yeah, Adam and I are friendly. We have a very cordial relationship, but we just that we have different jobs to do in this environment, and it creates conflict. We're kind of like the sheepdog and the coyote. If you ever saw the old Warner Brothers cartoon, we get along, we're off mic, but man, am I relieved when he's not around. And I hope you guys are relieved, too, by the fact that we actually get through a few calls.
I get to chat in the chat rooms at drdrew.com. I'm looking through the window here at Anderson and Danielle. They got smiles. They're not, they don't have that grouper face on they have with Adam's here. And it's good talking to people and getting through the calls. So,
I love Drew.
I love Adam. And we have to take our usual customary 10-second break.
This is Clubline on Radio Station. Zone 105, KZNR Lakeville, KZNT Cambridge, KZNZ Eden Prairie. This is Zone 105.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. I'm by myself. Adam is at the Academy Awards. And I'm using multiple medias here to interact with you guys. I've been fooling around in the chat room at drdrew.com. Got a question about normal size for a 14-year-old male. Incredibly variable. 1 inch to 6 inch. Extremely variable. It depends on how far along people are in their puberty. The important message is to know is that all of you are going to continue until you're 21. So just don't stress. Got a fax from a guy named Paul who's thinking about taking decadranabol and, you know, all this incredibly dangerous anabolic androgenic steroid. The NIDA, National Institute of Drug Abuse, and the NIH, National Institutes of Health, about to go on a major campaign. In fact, I've got to film something tomorrow to help educate young people about how goddamn dangerous this stuff is, how common this abuse of steroids is. It ain't worth it. I'm telling you, your sperm production goes down. Sometimes your erectile function goes away for good. Liver disease, kidney disease, stroke, heart attack, depression, suicide, manic, extreme aggression. I've seen so many consequences from the use of from these steroids. I can't even tell you. So let's think about our health and think about the consequences of doing things that are not good for our health. Lynn, 31.
Hi. I just have to say I love the show, especially when Adam's not here.
Go, Lynn.
And I think you are the cute one in the show.
Kiss my ass, you idiot.
My question is, I take lithium, and I drink like volumes of water a day.
Yep.
And when I have sex, I like make puddles and the sheets get all wet.
You mean you're urinating, or do you mean?
I don't know.
Probably
it does not feel like it's just, you know, normal lubrication.
Could you be ejaculating? There's a female ejaculate.
I mean, like we use a towel and that gets all soaked.
I bet it's just female ejaculation. That's a good thing. Guys are happy when they get women to do that.
Okay.
Okay? Don't be embarrassed. It probably doesn't have anything to do with your medication. Bobby, 19.
Hi.
Hey, Bobby.
My question is I kind of am afraid of being abandoned. My fiancé died in October. Mm. Now, we have two children together.
Oh, my God.
And
what did he die from?
He overdosed.
On what?
Heroin. I didn't even know he was doing it. Mm-hmm. I had no clue.
You had no clue he was an addict?
No, and the thing of it is that one of my children isn't biologically his, but he raised him. Mm. And his father was a heroin addict, and I knew it. And
your father?
My father is not a heroin addict.
Your mother?
No. Mm-mm.
How do you make these kinds of choices?
I don't know.
Two heroin addicts. You're two for two.
But see, the thing of it is Robbie is the one that passed away, and he...
Stop. I cannot accept your parents are not addicts or alcoholics.
No, my mother is an alcoholic.
Thank you. Okay.
But my father is...
That's fine. I just knew somebody had to be an alcoholic. There had to be some way...
We have alcoholism that runs in our...
Everywhere. I'm sure of it. Are you an addict yourself?
No.
Hmm. But it just has to be. You don't form relationships with people that are that far into that disease unless you've been engaged with somebody who's alcoholic or addict since early childhood.
See, my fiancé that passed away, I had knew him from way back in my childhood. He was like, you know, your first boyfriend-girlfriend relationship thing.
Yeah.
He was it. And then we broke up, and I moved on, and I got with my oldest son's father, and I was with him for a long time. And when we broke up, me and Robbie got back together. And Robbie knew that if I had ever found out about it, like, I could tolerate weed, pot, I could tolerate that, and I could tolerate...
Robbie, you're missing everything. I'm saying you're getting into all kinds of fragmented issues here. The deal is... You've been engaged with an alcoholic your entire life. You are the person, your sense of yourself is the person who is relating to and intimate with an alcoholic addict.
You go for those kinds of people. They go for you. You're two for two. You're going to keep doing that unless you make some real serious change. And the only way that's going to happen, I swear to God, is if you work a program of recovery in Al-Anon that isn't, or do some therapy. But Al-Anon is free. Be very effective. You're going to keep attracting addicts, and you're going to keep being attracted to addicts unless something changes in you, because that's now who you are.
Right, I understand that. That isn't even my question at all.
I know you don't care about that, no, but if your life's going to change, that's the only way it's going to change.
Really, no, I really do care, because I understand that if it doesn't change for me, then it's not going to change for my children either.
Mm. And you're going to. There's a good chance that one of your kids will be alcoholic addict too.
Right.
The gene. They'll have the gene anyway.
And I don't want them to have to live that cycle.
And was your mom just a raging alcoholic?
My mother's still an alcoholic.
But a raging. She's really
good. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
She's an alcoholic.
That's where this came from. Bobby, please. God is my witness. Please do something about this. All right, go ahead.
My question is I constantly feel afraid of abandonment.
Of course.
I'm like in total fear. I am so beyond fear when that subject comes up, you know. It's like when I'm with somebody, I feel like I kind of smother them in a sense.
Well, and then you push them away.
Right, like I push them away.
Yeah.
But
then you make them leave, and then when they actually leave, you totally lose it.
Right, right.
That's such a classic pattern.
And it's like...
Listen, it's not, I swear to God, Bobby, you must hear these words and this must get through to you somehow. None of this is going to change unless you make change, unless you do something.
But how can I change the person itself?
You can change your person. That's the only thing you can change. And if you engage in a program of recovery, you will have people available for you unconditionally. Problem is, you may make some bad choices in sponsors. Make sure it's somebody who's been in sober for at least 15 years. And who ain't going anywhere.
Well, I'm only 19. I hope. I don't, you know.
What do you mean you're only 19? You have all this, you have nothing but your life ahead of you. And
exactly.
If you don't make some change.
I'm only 19 and I feel like I shouldn't have these feelings already.
But listen, that you had them since you were five.
I've had them since all my life.
That's right.
My father was never there.
Your father's never there, and you had a raging alcoholic mom.
Right.
Everything I ever loved
abandoned me in
that
kind of way.
Yeah, of course. But you're right. Abandoned you with drugs, abandoned you actually physically like a dad.
Right.
And your whole sense of yourself is stunted by that. And until you engage in intimate relationships with people who are genuinely available, which is what 12 Steps is all about, this piece of you is not going to grow, and that stunted piece is going to keep looking for fixes. And these people who are also looking for fixes themselves, but in rather different kinds of fixes, looking for heroin fixes. And you, of course, create relationships with people who are either abandoning you by drugs, abandoning you physically, or abandoning you by dying. This ain't going to change. Please. Your whole life does not have to be lived out like this. I understand, people, why we can't all sort of acknowledge what's going on, how human works. This Bobby is suffering from something incredibly human. Nothing wrong. Bobby's not a bad person. We should all feel sorry for Bobby that she has to make these choices. She has to be doomed to acting out the sort of vestiges of her upbringing rather than going, you know, taking direction and doing things that can make real change for her. Paul, 24. Paul?
Hi.
Hey.
For sleep aid for years, I had insomnia problem, and I just recently started taking Thorazine.
Yeah.
And
were you having night terrors or something?
It's just like my mind would race, and I couldn't sit alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, Thorazine's not a sleep medicine, so go ahead.
Yeah, because that's what I'd been using, and then the first couple times I'd used it, I'd wake up in the morning, and I didn't feel tired like I do normally all the time.
What's your question?
I was just wondering, is there a better medication out there for that purpose than Thorazine?
Well, you need a diagnosis first. Thorazine is not a sleep medication. So, now, Thorazine has the potential of causing all kinds of interesting problems like Parkinson's and something called tardive dyskinesia, which are repetitive abnormal movements of the mouth, lips, and face. So, you better be taking that for a specific reason other than a sleep disturbance, because that is not what it is created for. Chanel, 19.
Yeah, my big toe has been numb for like the past 3 days, and it's not actually the whole toe, it's like the upper right part of it, and I was wondering...
Left or right toe?
My left toe.
Upper right part of your left toe, okay.
Yeah, like right by the...
Is it swollen or anything?
Huh?
Was it swollen or anything?
No.
Have you been wearing high heels or running or doing anything weird like
that?
No,
but I stand all day at work.
That's it.
That's what it is?
It's just probably a little pinched nerve there.
Okay.
Where can you wear, like, running shoes, that sort of thing?
Well, they're high tops to protect my ankles.
What's wrong with your ankles?
I have weak ankles.
You ever see the movie Out of Towners? The old Out of Towners with Sandy Dennis?
Uh-uh.
No. Weak ankles. You wouldn't understand the reference. Erica, 17.
Hi.
Hey.
I just first of all want to say thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you, Erica.
I have learned so much from your show.
It is amazingly my pleasure. Completely.
And
100%.
Because of you, I convinced my friend to take the morning after pill, which I never would have known about.
You warmed my heart with that one. I get so excited, I get choked up. But
thank you.
You know what, as I sort of look around for ways to make a difference, I mean, here I have this thing, this microphone at my disposal, and, you know, what kinds of recommendations or changes in behavior can really make a difference, man, that's one.
Well,
it really is.
I listen to you all the time, and just thank you.
My pleasure.
But my question is...
Hang on a second.
All right.
Oh, my. Okay.
Okay, my question is, I have a bunch of guy friends and stuff, but none of them seem to be any more interested than just friends, except for the handful of them that want to be friends with benefits. But nobody ever seems to like me as more than a friend. I'm kind of curious.
Wait a minute. They want to be friends and have sex?
Yeah.
What is that all about? Is that maybe... Are you maybe misinterpreting? Maybe
no.
They want to have... But maybe they want to have a relationship.
No, they... Because, like, they pretty much have said that they're not interested in me like that. They just want to be friends.
And they just want to have sex.
Yeah.
Well, how are you sort of... You know, are you presenting yourself a certain way? In other words, do you go out? Do you date? And do you sort of...
No. No, it's just like...
What about doing that? What about finding guys that are more interested in relationships?
Well, I mean, believe me, I'm looking.
Yeah?
It's just, like, I'll meet, you know, somebody, like, through work or at school. I'll just meet new people, start, like, talking to them and stuff, but they just never seem any
You're
more
fat.
Interested than friends.
What about you asking a guy out?
Tried it.
What happened?
No, it's like we'd go out, but it'd just be as, like, kind of friends and nothing ever happened.
Why?
I don't know.
You sound really great. I mean, can you give me a hint as to what might keep you stuck in Friendville?
I have no
idea. It's easy with guys. Guys get stuck in Friendville all the time. But women don't have to do that, usually.
I'm very perplexed.
Nothing. There's no hint you can give me. There's nothing about you that might... The guys are obviously attracted to you sexually because they want to have sex with you, but they want to be your friend.
Yeah, basically. And if I had any idea as to why, I could maybe try and figure it, but I have no idea.
Do you have any girlfriends?
Yeah.
What do they tell you?
They're just as confused, and they swear that some people like me when I know they don't. And
wait. What do you mean by that?
Well, they swear like with this one guy specifically that he likes me, but he doesn't because he has a girlfriend and he's chasing another girl at the same time.
So he's just a dick.
Yeah.
Good instincts about that, you don't be stuck with that kind
of thing. Yeah, to quote Adam, he's a douche nozzle. But other than that, I mean, they're pretty much just as confused as I am about it.
Well, I'm not seeming to be very much help because I can't come up with anything unless there's something you can tell me. You're overworked about the kinds of choices you make, the sort of...
No, I mean, I guess...
The way you socialize. It's got to be something about the way you go about your socializing.
I mean, I don't go out every weekend, and I don't go get trashed every weekend. I'm, you know, let's just go hang out, let's go play mini golf, or let's go do a movie, or go get coffee.
Are guys scared of you for some reason?
I don't know why they would be.
You're fat. You know what? I think, Eric, I'm unfortunately not much help to you. I think you have to rely on your female friends, and I hope you have good friends who can give you sort of an objective. And you have to sit them down. Maybe there's something difficult to hear or difficult for them to say that they're not telling you, and I don't know what that would be, but you got to sit them down and say, look, you have to help me. I'm looking to make change. Where do I have an opportunity to do it? Where is there room for improvement for me? Mike, 43.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
Good.
I'm addicted to a pharmaceutical. I guess it's the generic of Vicodin ES.
Hydrocodone?
Hydrocodone 10650.
Yeah.
And I just graduated to another drug called Oxycontin.
Right.
And I'm at the point now where...
Long-acting.
...off of the drugs for a year and a half.
Long-acting oral opiate. You have to be treated, Mike. There's no way around it. Opiates basically throw a switch in somebody if you have that switch to be thrown, which undoubtedly you do.
Okay.
And... It ain't going to go away. When you come off drugs, it is going to be extremely unpleasant, not just the detox process, which, by the way, I don't take people off hydrocodone or oxycodone outside of a hospital because it never worked. In my experience, do not get on methadone. Whatever you do, it is a nightmare, and you will get addicted to methadone. You can do it. You can try a 21-day or 14-day detox on methadone if you want, but I've yet to see somebody actually successfully conclude that. And you have to get treated. You have to, because the state that you are left in after you come off the opiates is extremely unpleasant. After the withdrawal is over, there are drives left over, and there's a sense of emptiness and loss that is profound and really contributes to the probability of relapsing. And the way your brain will work, the kind of thinking that will go on will be distorted. And you need some kind of treatment in order to prevent that from leading to going back to the drug of choice. Yeah, check out Narcotics Anonymous. If there's any local hospitals nearby, you want a physician who's board certified in addiction medicine by the American Society of Addiction Medicine. Dan, 22.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, what I've got is I got a bit of a social problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I consider myself a really sociable person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a university student, mm-hmm. and I have to be around people all the time. And I think that's leading to my question is, when I'm not around people, like I was at an Oscar party tonight, I'm a student filmmaker,
mm-hmm.
and I had a great time while I was there, and as soon as everybody leaves, and as soon as I leave, and I'm on my own again,
great.
I get incredibly depressed.
Well, that's why people keep other people around, or compulsively keep other people around, is to avoid feeling. To avoid feeling. That's why people use drugs, that's why people have sex, that's why people do a lot of things, when they have feelings that they don't want to have or they can't handle. Boredom is a great way to avoid feelings.
Yeah.
If you're bored, it makes you go do something before you have a feeling.
See, I'm always doing something.
Yeah,
In a sense, you know, I'm a workaholic. I live alone.
Yeah.
I just got out of a pretty bad relationship, but I know I'm going to jump into another relationship before I'm actually ready for one.
How about getting treatment for your depression?
Yeah, I've... when I was younger, when I was still in high school, I was in a little bit of therapy, and I was on lithium, things like that. And
by the way, lithium is not a short-term commitment.
No, I know.
Right? If you're bipolar, that's a lifetime of something.
Yeah.
And if that's your diagnosis, what the hell are you doing?
I don't know.
Well, why don't you get some treatment? Why do you have to be miserable? It's one thing if you're just feeling a little blue, or you're just, you know, dealing with the negotiations of development in life, but... you have a diagnosable condition. You've been on lithium.
Yeah.
Hey, you're making a mistake not to be treated. It will affect your ability to be productive. It'll affect your choices.
See, that's the thing. 99% of the time, I'm high. I don't do drugs or anything. I hardly drink, but I'm always high on life. I'm a very nice person to be around.
Maybe you may be manic half the time, and then you
probably
crash down into depressions. You may cycle rapidly. Look, you've got to get treated. Damn, why be miserable?
Well, that's the thing. Most of the time, I'm not miserable, and most of the time, I manage.
You told me you always have to be with other people. And if I'm not always doing something, always with other people, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on with it. Let's get back into treatment. And it may not even be therapy. It may just be something to stabilize the biology. Sarah, 19.
Hi. Okay. I just want to say it's great with you just there answering everybody's questions. You get through them a lot faster.
Thank you.
But I've known this guy for 2 years, and we dated at the beginning, like when we first started knowing each other, and then it just kind of went as friends. And so just recently, the past 3 months, we started talking again and hanging out, and we've slept together like 5 times over the past 3 months. And when he hangs out with me and my friends, it's fine. And when we hang out together alone, he's fine. But every so often we'll hang out with a bunch of his friends, and he's totally distant, and I don't know what to do.
You think he has a girlfriend?
Well, I don't think so. I mean...
Have you asked any of his friends why he behaves like that?
Oh, no. I know his friends.
Did you ask any of them why he might be uncomfortable?
They have nothing to say. They're just like, oh, he's just like that.
Which he isn't.
Yeah, not like with me when we're alone, or not when we're with my friends.
I get the distinct feeling he's covering for something. Maybe it's just that he doesn't want to, he doesn't really like you, and he just doesn't want to seem like he's dating you for some reason. God knows what it would be to let his friends in on the fact that he is. Or he's hiding something. And I get the feeling he's hiding something.
Really?
That's
okay, like, we hang out, like, I can hang out with him and, like, some of his friends that I know really good,
mm-hmm.
and, like,
they know, like, something's going on between us. But it's like if we hang out with a big, like, group of, like, some people that I don't know, it's like that's when he starts acting distant.
But that's why, you know, his close friends may be protecting him, and they may know what he's up to.
Oh, okay.
The other thing is, Anderson.
Because, like, I've known him for 2 years.
Well, maybe not. Anderson said something in my headphones that was interesting. He said maybe it's just like Greece. You know, where he has a certain image to maintain, whatever that image is, and you're not consistent with that. Whatever it is, whether it's just that he doesn't want the guys to think that he's being taken away by a woman, or maybe you're of a different sort of, I don't know, some different style than he is, and it would make him feel uncomfortable. Whatever it is. You know, you've seen the movie Grease or the play Grease?
Yeah.
Maybe, do you think it'd be something like that?
No, not really. No. I mean, like, we're into the same things, and, like, it's nothing like he's total, like...
Well, it's
opposite.
Something, and I get the real sense that he's hiding something. I can't tell you exactly why, but it just sounds just very suspicious, sneaky. Sounds sneaky. It sounds more than usual, because usually when people are uncomfortable around somebody, maybe that's why I'm thinking this way, when somebody isn't really comfortable being in a relationship with somebody else, whenever they're out in public, they're distant. When they're around everybody's friends, they feel kind of awkward. But when they're specifically okay around certain people that they're closest to and maybe know what he's up to, and when the group gets bigger and he's out of control, then all of a sudden he has to pretend he's not dating. It's suspicious. It's Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam is out at the Academy Awards. The number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I got to pee again, so I'll be doing that, and then I'll come back and sit in the chat rooms at drdrew.com, drdrew.com. I'm looking for questions here for you guys to bring up on the air. I haven't really seen a lot. Here's one. Okay, sometimes when I have sex, one of my testicles disappears into my stomach. That is a common thing. That is when they're, particularly around the time of ejaculation, there's a cremasteric response that pulls the testy up from the inguinal canal. It will come back down. It doesn't hurt anything, so don't worry about it. We'll be back with more calls after this.
Yo, Loveline, I'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Gabby's presents the Twin Cities official South Park Wednesday.
Maybe I can lure into a night of exotic delectation.
Head to Gabby's every Wednesday night starting at 8:30. Upstairs, a $3 cover gets you 50-cent taps all night long and a free taco bar until the end of South Park. And after the show, Gabby's opens up the dance floor and takes you back to the 80s. Plus, they give away cash every half hour from 10 until midnight, and you'll keep enjoying those 50-cent taps. Your official South Park headquarters is Gabby's. Join me, Brian Oak, this Wednesday night at Gabby's, located on the hip northeast side of Minneapolis, just north of Broadway on Marshall, right on the Mississippi. South Park Wednesdays at Gabby's, brought to you by Comedy Central, Media One, Bianchi Rossi Tours, and Gabby's Saloon and Eatery.
Does it have attitude? Does it have personality? Does it have style? At Great Clips, we know that to be a great haircut, it's got to be in sync with you. Your look, your image, your face. That's why every Great Clips stylist receives ongoing postgraduate instruction at the Great Clips Advanced Training Centers. It's where they keep current on all the latest trends, hottest styles, and newest techniques. It's also where they learn how to ask the right questions and listen to what you have to say. So no matter which Great Clips you visit or which stylist cuts your haircut will always fit you. Your image, your look, your style. Guaranteed. And with convenient weekend and evening hours and easy-to-find locations, you can always get your haircut when it fits your schedule, not ours. Great Clips. Guaranteed satisfaction. Guaranteed style.
At The Shank Company, we have over 1,000 engagement rings and wedding sets to select from. Whether you want white gold or yellow gold, 14 or 18 karat or platinum, our styles are different. Because most are displayed without the center diamond set in them, you're able to browse comfortably and then choose a center diamond to accommodate any total price you desire. The Shank Company's diamond selection is the largest in the state in all shapes and sizes. Whether you want to spend a few $100s or many thousands, our people are truly diamond experts. They aren't paid on commission. They'll let you compare diamonds side by side. You'll be able to picture each diamond in the bridal set of your choice, so you'll wind up with exactly what you want and what no one else will ever have.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shank Company. In Minnetonka at 394 and Hopkins Crossroad, and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open Monday through Friday till 8 Saturday and Sunday till 5.
The time has finally arrived. The time you've been waiting for. Now is your chance to be the professional you are and earn the income that is worthy of your diligent efforts. OSI has been a leader in accounts receivable management for years, and they know that the best way to grow their business is to hire and retain the best people, and that means you. OSI's exciting employee appreciation programs and outstanding work environment makes OSI a great place to begin or continue your career as a collection supervisor, skip tracer, or as a collector. Work for a company where your contributions will be appreciated and rewarded. OSI offers a paid training program, outstanding benefits and 401k options, tuition reimbursement, paid time off, a professional business casual dress environment, and best of all, a career you can be proud of. OSI has openings for both entry-level and supervisory positions. For immediate consideration, contact Human Resources at OSI at 651-634-5539. That number again, 651-634-5539.
I'm Brian Elk.
I'm Tyra Banks. Mornings on Zone 105.
Right. Monday morning on the show, it was our big Oscar wrap-up. We ran down the highlights and lowlights of the 72nd Annual Academy Awards.
Oh, Brian, girl, you look good. Who are you with?
The t-shirt, I think, might be...
Oh, Mr. Sexy himself. Come on, girl.
Are you talking to me?
Get out. Who are you wearing?
You know,
Well, you go have some fun in there, girl.
Alternative Classics Zone 105. This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Grew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105.
Hey, I'm Dr. Grew. It's Loveline. Adam is away schmoozing with the stars at the Academy Awards, and I'm having the time of my life here with you guys. I hope it's cool hanging out, and we're getting through a few calls here. It's good. Breaks the sort of log jam we have with my illustrious partners with us. So, we were talking to anybody, actually. I was in the chat rooms chatting with people, and some of the rooms are kind of out of control. It's drdrewoneword.com, and I'm in the relationship chat room. I'm about to get there anyway in just a second. In the meantime, let's go to Brittany, 13. Brittany.
My mom's like kind of an alcoholic.
Kind of?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I was wondering exactly how could I deal with that, because it's like really bothering me lately.
Where's your dad?
My dad. Yeah. He lives in Utah with my brothers. My parents got divorced.
Is there any chance you could appeal to him for help?
Well, no, because we don't really keep in very good touch.
So you're not really involved? He's not involved with your life in any way?
Mm-mm.
Is there any, you have any older siblings or anybody that you can get in touch with to help you out?
Well, my sister's 21 and she's in Spain.
Yeah, so that's no good. How about at school? Any teachers or anything you can talk to?
Any what?
Teachers or anything you can talk to? Counselors?
Well, not really, because it's like kind of embarrassing to talk about that kind of stuff with your teachers and stuff.
Well, not really. It's a common thing, and I would think they'd be available to help you. If you can't make a contact with some adult, you really got the only other option, unless you have a doctor you can talk to, is to go to Allentine.
Allentine?
Yeah. It's a place where kids your age, people, you know, 12 to 20, with alcoholic parents get together and support each other and help each other deal with having alcoholic parents.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Take care. Bye. This is Marco, 20.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I have a quick question to ask you. I just wanted to shout out to Adam Carolla. How are you doing?
He isn't here.
He's not here?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He must be listening to the show on a tape delay or something.
I just have a question to ask you. I just got into bodybuilding. I'm taking a creatine supplement.
Yeah.
ATP. And I've been taking it every other day, and then they had a loading process. And ever since then, I've been having really, really bad breakouts.
I work at acne.
Like, as in acne, yeah. I mean, I've never had acne as bad as I do now.
You taking anything besides creatine?
No, nothing other than that.
I don't know of creatine doing that. That's not something I'm familiar with. Working out more can cause an acne breakout.
Is it maybe like the testosterone balance, maybe, or?
Creatine shouldn't really do that much, but yeah, it can have something to do with that, or it can have to do with the way you're sweating, or are you putting your people get, you know, these acne around the chin strap from the football helmet or the helmet can cause an acne outbreak. So it may be more to do with the breaking out than the creatine. Though I don't think people should be taking supplements, particularly at your age. I don't think it's a healthy thing to do necessarily, at least at 22.
Lisa?
I've been feeling kind of physically under the weather the past week or so, and the past few days I've just been getting hot out of nowhere, and I've had to go to the bathroom constantly, and I've been kind of bloated, and today I couldn't eat. Like, I tried to eat something, and I felt nauseous, and I felt sick all day, and I was talking to a girlfriend.
So you have a urine infection?
No, I've had bladder infections before, and I don't.
That's what this sounds like.
It doesn't burn or anything, and I go to the
bathroom. Not yet. They may start up later.
What?
That may start up later.
Okay, well, she said that sounded like I might be pregnant, and I was curious.
Did you take a pregnancy test?
No, I'm not even late at all. It's only like 2 weeks.
Why take a pregnancy test? Why don't you take a pregnancy test just to see?
Well, I just thought if you thought that might be possible.
Well, Lisa, let's just use common sense for a second. Do you have any idea what the symptoms of pregnancy are?
I've never been pregnant before.
Do you have anybody ever talk to you about pregnancy?
Well, the only thing I really know about is morning sickness. Just feeling nauseous, and that's the only thing.
No, just about anything under the sun.
Pardon?
You can feel just about anything under the sun when you're pregnant. Fatigue, drowsiness, just you name it, you can feel it. But if you're only 2 weeks pregnant, is that what we're saying here? You'll only be 2 weeks pregnant?
Yeah, it's the most significant.
Not likely that you'll be having much at 2 weeks.
Okay.
Not likely. But a bladder infection can be fatigue, bloating, chills, can be everything you're talking about. So get that checked out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Huh. This is Anne, 23.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Anne, what's going on?
Okay, this is kind of long. I had this boyfriend ever since I've been 13. I'm 23 now. And we've been kind of on and off this whole entire time I was with him. And I got pregnant. I had a little boy 5 months ago.
Let me ask that question. How long were you with him since you were how old?
Since I was 13. Hmm. It's been about 10 years.
Interesting.
And he's been actually the only one I've ever been with. And, well, when we're together, we're so abusive towards each other. We get into these fights, and they turn into, we get into arguments, they turn into physical fights. And, we were verbally abusive, and it's really...
Uh-oh.
My mom just walked in. Can you get... I'm talking on the phone. Anyway,
Grandma there, too? Dad, everybody?
I'm sorry?
Hey, Grandma, Dad, anybody else gathering in your room tonight?
Yeah, everyone.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
You're 23, Ann. Why aren't you... What are you living at home for?
Because, well, she lives with me. I pay everything here.
All right.
Anyhow, it's so weird because when he's not with me, I need him. I just need him to be with me. And he smokes a lot of weed. He has really bad mood swings. I think that's why, because of the marijuana. And
absolutely.
My father was an alcoholic, a really bad alcoholic.
Surprise. And he was abusive to mom, too. Surprise!
Actually, my father was verbally abusive. He never hit us. He never touched my mom. He was just always putting us down. You know, a few days I was his. I was biologically his. A few days I wasn't. And I was always trying to, you know, gain his... I always wanted him to like me, and he always favored my sister. And I'm thinking, you know, does that have something to do with it? And it's hard
because... Yeah, it could be.
Duh. Yeah, and then when we're not together, like, we've been separated for months, and, you know, I'll go out with other people, and really nice guys with good jobs, you know, that treat me really well, and...
All right, stop. You're making me ill.
But I can't stay with them. It's like, I don't know.
You're addicted to him. You've got to have this guy, which is basically a recreation of that I want Dad to like me scenario you've lived with your whole life. There it is.
And
the guys you're attracted to are going to be just like this guy.
I want to get rid... I don't want this, because when we're together, it's like, I hate you. I don't want to be with you. And then it's... I want to get over this, and it seems impossible.
It's impossible in this relationship. Ain't going to happen, because he isn't going to change. He's an addict. He's what he is. He's not going to change. So if you want to get stuck on this Ferris wheel that you're on, be my guest. But if you want to change, I've talked to a lot of people like you tonight where there is potential.
I want to change so bad. I mean, not just, you know, for me and for my son, because, you know, because now I got him involved. He's here, and...
Is this guy's child?
Yes. It's his.
Have you had any other relationships?
Very short, maybe like a week or two. I just can't keep it with someone else.
You're addicted to this guy.
You know, and it's just, these guys are perfect that I meet. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them, but it's just, the next, like, we'll be talking for days, and all of a sudden I want nothing to do with the new person that I met.
Yeah, they don't attract you. They don't create that sense of yourself, that need to be the little girl in relation to the abusive alcoholic dad who's not available, that you have to bring him around to make him love you once and for all. That is a compulsion that's got to stop. Your sense of yourself must change. You have to grow past that stuck piece.
How do I do that?
Well, you can do it. I've said it a couple times tonight to people. You can go to Al-Anon and get a sponsor and work the program diligently for many months in your case. Or you can get a therapist. And
you know, and yeah, that's like so expensive. And I've always thought of, you know, going to see someone, but I think, I don't need to see someone. I can get over this on my own. I just need to have some encouragement or
well,
something.
Well, the only way that you even have a remote potential, which I don't think you have much of one based on what you're telling me, is by getting one of these perfect guys and getting in a relationship and hanging out and seeing what feelings come up.
You know,
staying in that relationship.
Like that, but it's so weird because the next day it's like I want nothing to do with them.
I don't mean have sex with them. I mean,
no, yeah, I know, and I don't, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying when you want to have nothing to do with them, hang in, contain that, stay with it, see what kind of feelings come up as you stay with a relationship with somebody who's actually available for you.
Yeah,
it'll be horrifying. You'll act out in all kinds of ways against somebody. You'll push them away probably, and if indeed you do that, you have to get treatment because they ain't going to change otherwise.
Really, and you know, and it's so weird because like when he's not around, I feel like so depressed, and I'm like, gosh, you know, we can work things out.
Oh, boo hoo!
We should change. He can change, and I feel like, and all my friends tell me, you're such a nice person, you know, and it's I only act like an animal with him, and I hate it because.
I know we're going with this, Ann. Ain't gonna change. He's not gonna change. He's not gonna change.
And also, does the marijuana have a lot to do? Because he is so moody. I mean, he'll be...
Yeah, absolutely. People that smoke tons of pot get profoundly depressed. And it takes several years sometimes for that depression to come on. Boy, and watch out if he stops. The depression's become very serious. There's actually a substantial incidence of suicidal depression in the first 6 months of marijuana abstinence if people are really on it like this. And please, people, do not let's get into arguments about whether this drug is addictive or not. It is profoundly addictive for a small subset of people, primarily alcoholics. I have to treat them every goddamn day of my life, and it is a serious condition and when it gets going. Most marijuana addicts, before they come to treatment, have switched to speed or alcohol because the marijuana stops working, they get depressed, they increase the dose of marijuana, they get more depressed. And if you're an addict used to using substances as a way of managing your emotional world, of course you're going to switch to something else. Don't let it get that far. Go get treatment. Check out MA. Do something. Recognize that this thing can be quite serious for a small subset of people. Not for everybody. For everybody else, something they want to use occasionally, no big deal. Not a big deal, no more than alcohol, except for it being illegal. Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. The DrDrew.com chat room. They're kind of breaking down. There are people sort of repeating themselves and being retards. I'm going to look around the various other rooms within DrDrew.com and see if I can find somebody with a functioning neuron and get some questions for the show. We'll be back in just a second.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
Ah, the drive-thru. A great way to order your food to go, hot, fresh, and fast. But did you ever think of pizza to go? Especially good pizza to go? Now at all Arby's Sbarro restaurants, you can drive-thru on your lunch break, taking the kids to soccer, or anytime you want piping hot pizza by the slice delivered from our window to yours. Now you'll get two huge slices of our New York-style cheese pizza for just $2.22. You'll love our zesty made-from-scratch sauce, garden-fresh ingredients, and whole milk mozzarella piled high on our own hand-stretched dough. We'll be ready and waiting for you, so point your car to the nearest Arby's Sbarro drive-thru today.
Arby's Sbarro, we're all about good food. So bring the whole family, we'll get them in the mood. For pizza and for roast beef, your hunger we will change. It's Arby's Sbarro, we
It's the 2 for $2.22 Super Slice Sale, only at Arby's Sbarro restaurants in Minnesota.
Dream Girls is looking for a few good men, men 18 and older, for a serious study on human sexuality. Applicants for this study must apply in person at Dream Girls and present a valid Minnesota ID. Those chosen to participate will be subjected to a wide variety of beautiful women. These women, in various stages of undress, are certified by Dream Girls to elicit a wide range of responses from participating subjects. Men applying at Dream Girls should be in overall good health and free from any heart conditions. Those bearing a ticket stub from any downtown event shall be admitted at no charge. Dream Girls reserves the right to continue weekly appearances by adult film stars. Those wishing to utilize the discreet rear entrance of Dream Girls shall be permitted to do so. For more information or directions to Dream Girls, call 33-DREAM. Make a difference. Choose to participate at Dream Girls. Open late, open now. Just west of Hennepin on 5th Street in downtown Minneapolis. Dream Girls, where your fantasy begins. Well, it doesn't take any great vision to see what is the hottest business and communications opportunity today. A new frontier of commerce has arrived in great force, the Internet. Already, many industries are retooling at a frantic pace to allow their customers a more efficient method of making purchases. As is often the case, technological advances have created a shortage of people who know how to utilize the Internet. There exist excellent employment opportunities for individuals who understand the three elements of e-commerce: creativity, administration, and marketing. A local school, the Minnesota School of Computer Imaging, a division of Minnesota School of Business and Globe College, is now offering a new educational program, e-commerce design, to empower individuals with the knowledge of website development, administration, and e-marketing. If you'd like information about this new e-commerce design program, call 651-229-3600. That's 651-229-3600. Or check out their website at msbcollege.com and enter the new frontier.
It crashed into America with 150-mile-per-hour winds. Trees were uprooted like a toothpaste. Metal roofs wadded up like tinfoil. Homes became debris. Hurricane Andrew was the most expensive natural disaster in U.S. history. In the aftermath of Andrew, many heroes emerged, and one hero may have been overlooked: the United States Census. Thanks to your answers on the census, precise census maps have been drawn to depict where homes once stood. Census information helped direct emergency services personnel to where temporary shelters should go. Census information even helped to support the need for disaster assistance funds. The census occurs once every 10 years, and your answers help provide a plan for the future, or for a flood, a tornado, or even a hurricane. Census 2000. This is your future. Don't leave it blank. Paid for by Census 2000.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105.
Hey, it's Loveline. Dr. Drew here. Adam away at the Academy Awards. Pretty good show tonight. Do you like it, Anderson? No, he didn't like it. I liked American Beauty, and I really liked Kevin Spacey, so I was glad to see that go. And I still haven't yet seen Cider House Rules, but I intend to. And so, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Got some interesting faxes here. Got some, finally, some rational questions on the chat rooms at drdrew.com. A woman is asking about, she apparently has some confusion about multiple orgasms. Her question is, have you ever heard of a woman having more than a few orgasms? Some women can have hundreds in a sexual encounter, and it's because of a lack of refractoriness. They just go to plateau, climax, and go back up again. And for some women, it's not a big deal to go over and over and over again until they're just fatigued. For some women, multiple means 5 times. For some, it means 50 times. For some, it means twice. And for some, it's just one, like males. Males really are just a one-timer. Let's go back to their phones. It's Michael 19. Michael?
Hey, I got a question.
All right.
What's herpes look like on a male?
Well, it can look like blisters, or it can look like kind of a streak, like a red streak.
Would it be like up in the pubic hair?
Could be.
Like white?
No.
Not white.
Not typically. Are these small little white hard things on top of a red base?
Yeah, real tiny.
Real tiny?
Yeah.
That's probably molluscum contagiosum. That's typically in the pubic area. It's these little sort of almost look like zits, except the top, if you peel them off, these little hard balls kind of shell out, and
That's a blessing contagious. If you shell a dermatologist would shell all those little guys out, and the thing tends to go away. It's a virus. Not a big deal. And it's a sexually transmitted disease. Cat, 18.
Yeah. I have this problem where I have a boyfriend for like a month and we break up. And I followed your advice because, you know, I was abused and all that, and I found a guy that I wasn't attracted to at first. And
How were you abused?
You name it, that's it.
You were sexually abused, physically abused?
Mentally, yeah. My mom's an addict, my dad's an addict, my stepdad's an addict. I was raised around speed.
Okay.
And so I followed your guys' advice and found somebody I wasn't that attracted to, and I've known him since July.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to be attracted to him after a while, got to know him real well. And now we've been seeing each other for 2 months. I'm afraid that it's going to end up like all my other relationships. And
that you'll cut it off?
Yeah.
Well, it will if you allow it to be.
I don't know. It's just like guys just can't stand being around me for very long or something. I don't know.
Oh, they leave you?
Well, sometimes I leave them. It's just...
Do you get kind of wild and chaotic?
I don't get chaotic, no. I'm a normal person. I mean, I'm actually quite very normal considering what's gone on in my life, but it's just, you know...
What's going on? You mean you're still with the addicted parents?
No, actually, my...
I mean, what has gone on in your life, you're normal.
What?
Given what has gone on in your life, you're normal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what you're getting at. How long have you been with this present guy?
2 months.
And the relationship's going well?
Yeah, and I want to know, is it my fault that I break up with these guys, or is it they...
Well, you're the only constant in all these things, right?
Yeah.
And there's a pattern here about you. And there's certainly plenty of pasture to create difficulty in relationships. So you probably bet that it was about you.
Yeah.
And here we are 2 months into a relationship with a good guy.
Yeah.
You're kind of attracted.
Yeah.
And now you're convinced he's going to leave.
I'm afraid that eventually,
Yeah, so you're gonna make that happen, aren't you?
No, I don't want
to. Then don't worry about it. Why worry about it?
Because it always happens. Well, always.
You leave them?
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay, well, at least you can take control of that piece.
Yeah.
Okay? And let's face it, 18-year-old relationships do not last a lifetime, typically. So the probability is you're going to end this relationship at some point, but that doesn't mean you should hold back from getting involved. You've been so abandoned so badly and so abused that that prospect of connecting and disconnecting has been so painful that you don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
But until you do, this isn't going to heal. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. And it may be unrealistic to get to that point that you can do this on your own without some real help. So, let's see. This is Dickie, 21.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
Good.
Yeah, I want to let you know, man, I like the way you run that show, but I got an Adam that depends. He's pretty damn funny, too, man.
He's funny, of course.
He makes it interesting. I'm bipolar, and I've been taking Depakote for about a year.
Yeah.
I just started Effexor and Adderall.
Yeah.
And lately I've been, like, having some, like, crazy dizziness and, like, some bad head throbbing. And I also have this chronic sleeping thing where I can't get less than 12 hours of sleep a night. And it's really, I had to drop all my classes. And I work a night job, which is cool, but it's just screwing my life up.
You can't get less than 12 hours of sleep a night?
Yeah, like, if I wake up, I feel like I slept for, like, an hour. And I can't get up in the morning. And
even with the Adderall?
Even with the Adderall, yeah.
Which is a stimulant, like speed, basically.
Right. It's supposed to make me focus, I guess. That's what the doctor said.
Well, presuming that's presuming you have ADD.
Right, yeah, I have that too also.
You have ADD, are you an addict?
I'm an addict of...
When anything, you ever been an addict?
I used to do not a lot of drugs, but I mean, I used to smoke a lot of weed, I used to drink a lot, and I quit everything. I did some hard drugs back in high school, but nothing within the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I don't drink that much anymore, and I don't smoke weed anymore.
All right, what is your question exactly?
It seems like from listening to your show, you have a lot of information on the medications. Would any of those medications be causing this?
Oh, the excessive drowsiness?
And like the dizziness and like the head throbbing, it's just kind of, it's really bothering me. That more than anything.
It's Effexor, Adderall, and what was the other one?
Depakote.
Well, it's a pretty interesting combination. Effexor and Adderall, I would think together, could cause all kinds of funny symptoms like headaches and dizziness and God knows what. Mm-hmm. Have they reduced your Effexor dose lately?
No, I just started, so I mean, this was the trial period. But I mean, I can't go getting 12 hours of sleep every night. You know what I mean?
And did you start all three at once?
No, I've been taking Depakote for a year before they had me on Celexa.
All right, so Depakote's not the problem, right?
No.
Okay, which I wouldn't expect it to be. It's a mood stabilizer.
Right, exactly.
But there must be something about that combination of effects on Adderall. Adderall doesn't typically make people drowsy.
Okay.
So it's a stimulant. So although with effects, God only knows what that interaction could cause. So I would be thinking more in terms of the effects on the Celexa did not make you drowsy?
No.
There you go.
Tell me about this. I'm going to see an herbal doctor on Wednesday because I'm just trying to get any help I can get right now. Do you think that might have any kind of help whatsoever?
I think you need to go back to the psychiatrist that's prescribed your medication.
And I'm going to him Thursday.
And if you these herbs can really change the way your medications are metabolized, you must tell your psychiatrist that you're doing this.
Okay.
And they may have to check levels to be sure that they're okay. But cool. You're not on appropriate combination of medicines because you're having intolerable side effects. You need to go back to the doctor prescribing it and work on it till you find a combo that works. Angela, 20.
Yeah.
Hey. Go ahead.
My problem is that I basically break, well, not necessarily break up, but I cheat on guys that are perfect. And I mean, I go and I find these guys and I date them. And they're, I mean, in every way that I can imagine that they're perfect guys and girls, they are out there. But I don't understand why I turn around and I'm like, I don't break up with them. I like go and see other guys behind their backs. And
what do you think that might have to do with?
Well, really, I mean, in the perfect world, I could blame everything on my mother. She had, she's on husband number 4.
Hey.
And
what a miracle.
Yeah.
A miracle.
But,
she had the same pattern. Shocking. Amazing. A daughter carrying out the same pattern as mom. Never happened before.
No, I understand that. But she broke out of it. I mean, she is now with this husband that, I would never imagine her with, but that's okay. She's been with him for several years now and doing fine. But I'm wondering, how can I break the cycle? Because I know that's not healthy.
How did she do it? How did mom do it?
I really don't know because after... Not a lot. Not anymore.
Okay, after what? Go ahead.
Well, I used to... My parents obviously split up when I was, I'd say, about 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived with her and not with my dad, but I had a very good relationship with my father. But with her, it was really bad. She started seeing someone almost immediately and married him within a year. And he didn't get along with me at all, and that really caused relationships with the two of them. I'd say 2 years after their marriage, they split up. And my mom was really... Basically, she neglected me. She didn't... It's not necessarily that she wanted
Got the picture. Now, what... Why can't you talk to her now? You're an adult. You're nearly...
Well, adult. Yeah. It just... After things got... After a while, I moved in with my dad, and she really resented that from... And she was like... For like a year and a half, she didn't even talk to me, or she would. We always fought, and we fought for a long time.
So based on all these old patterns, all these old conflicts, you're not going to be able to talk to her. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Basically.
So you can't talk to her to see how she broke out of this. So you have to figure out a way to break out of yourself. Why you have to act like mom, be like mom, reject guys. Why being connected with guys in a truly intimate way and being available for a real relationship is too painful for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple to say, Angela, but a very complex and very serious issue.
Okay.
If you can, I've given this advice out several times tonight, if you cannot hang in with the relationship and see what feelings are evoked, but hang in anyway,
mm-hmm.
You can't do that, then you've got some serious problems here. Got some serious stuff with it being available for intimacy. And the only kinds of people you're going to be available for are those that are not available for you. That you're going to have to try to make available, just the way you tried to make dad available.
Uh-huh.
And it's you're doing that by becoming mom. And that ain't going to work.
Okay.
It's not going to work. You can either get treatment or you can keep doing this. There's really, unfortunately, we're out of time here, but there's no sort of easy way out of this.
and or you can see how you do by trying to act it accordingly, appropriately in a relationship with somebody who's really available. Keep close relationship with your friend when you try to do that. Sometimes friends can help you sort of shore up the emotional consequences of staying in a relationship. We got to take a break.
Let's have some more fun.
Okay, let's do it. Call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
What is our wish?
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
If you want to work for a big internet company, you got to move to Silicon Valley, right? Actually, no. There's a big new Silicon Valley-type internet company right here in the Twin Cities. It's called March 1st, and they've got tons of jobs for people with creative, technical, and strategic internet experience. Now, you probably think any second the cheesy recruitment spot disco music is going to start. Then you'll start hearing words like career advancement and opportunity of a lifetime, and they'll ask you to join their winning team. Finally, they'll try and lure you in with their world-class short-term disability plan, as if that's what you've been looking for all along. Fact is, March 1st is the only Silicon Valley-type internet company in town. Probably haven't heard of them yet, but you've heard of their clients. Apple, Harley-Davidson, eBay, Williams-Sonoma. Don't worry if the idea of working with Fortune 100 clients puts butterflies in your stomach. It should. Just means you're ready for something new, something bigger. Means you're ready for March 1st. Give them a call, 612-745-3158. That's 612-745-3158.
The Dogma Manifesto was created by a group of Danish filmmakers committed to a new philosophy, just the truth. Sony Pictures Classics proudly presents Mifune, a new Dogma film by Søren Krogh Jacobsen. Creston married the boss's daughter, but it wasn't for love, so he returned home to the country. When the housekeeper arrived, the simple life became more complicated. Critics agree that Mifune is the must-see movie of the season. Winning, a crowd-pleaser, declares Jay Carr of the Boston Globe. Joe Morgenstern of the Wall Street Journal raves that Mifune is a dazzling postmodern screwball romance. Marvelously entertaining, heralds Dennis Dermody of Paper Magazine, the official Danish entry of the 1999 Academy Awards, winner of the Silver Bear Award at the Berlin International Film Festival. Mifune, from Sony Pictures Classics.
Starts Friday at the Uptown Theater, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent. A Sony Pictures Classics release.
Time now for the Weekly Planner. Brothers is the hottest bar in the Warehouse District. Happy hour is from 4 to 7, and everything is 2 for 1, even on event nights. Brothers, 430 First Avenue. Always the best specials, always the most fun, guaranteed. CollegeClub.com is your headquarters for what's happening on campus. Just log on to CollegeClub.com. It's your online campus community. Every day at McDonald's, Cajun McChicken and double cheeseburgers are just 99 cents. You get more for your money. Did somebody say McDonald's? Looking for a real career? Drive a bus for Metro Transit. Hours are flexible, and you can earn up to $12.12 an hour. For more information, call 612-349-7557. Metro Transit. Hop on. Attention all job seekers. There is a big new Silicon Valley-type internet company in the Twin Cities called March 1st. March 1st is looking for people with web-based experience. Call 612-745-3158 for more information. That's 612-745-3158. That's the Weekly Planner. Listen for updates.
Do you have a good car and some extra hours available each month? If yes, we need you to provide transportation for senior citizens, adults, and for children with disabilities. Volunteer drivers provide rides to various community resources such as the grocery store and medical appointments. We also need drivers who would be available to transport children with developmental disabilities to and from summer camp. We provide training, orientation, and mileage reimbursement. If you would like more information, please call Linda at 612-348-8048.
It feels strange that I actually am opening myself up to another human being this way.
We're pretty inspired by those bands, Nirvana and Pearl Jam. And
I am a complete nutcase by nature.
My personal life is none of your business.
Join Zone 105's Billy for the Zone Files. Billy goes behind the music and talks to and about your favorite Zone artists.
Hi, this is Billy from Zone 105, and these are the Zone Files. The Cardigans team up with Tom Jones to do a Talking Heads cover? Strange but true.
Plus, Billy reveals the latest Hollywood has to offer. The Zone Files, heard daily on alternative classics. Zone 105.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105.
Well, another show in the can. It's Dr. Drew. I want to thank Adam for not being here tonight, and I want to thank all of you for joining me. I think we got through some interesting calls, and more than the average number, I'd say, without my illustrious partner here. Tomorrow night, it is Goldfinger. Adam will be back. I'll be here. Goldfinger, good guys, friends of the show, and we look forward to seeing them. So in the meantime, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Well, now.
This has been Loveline. The stuff expressed on Loveline is not necessarily the stuff of the staff, management, sponsors, or anyone else, including Westwood One Entertainment. Loveline is produced by Ann Wilkins and Gold. Now, please enjoy these birds. The alternative radio revolution lives on.
Yeah.
KCNR Lakeville, KCNT Cambridge, KCNT Eden Prairie. Alternative Classics, Zone 105.
Classic Zone 105 and music from Radiohead, who I just happen to know right now as we speak. They are hard at work finishing up their fourth album, the follow-up to the 1997 critically acclaimed album, OK Computer. They've shortened the songs down to 16 songs, which will then make it a single disc as opposed to a double disc as was originally speculated. But it doesn't matter because it's all Radiohead. They're also preparing for a spring and summer show with no tour dates still in on this side of the pond. So as soon as they are on sale, let's go, all of us. Good morning, it's Ben. It's just after 12 o'clock midnight. I've got music coming up so far from the Divinyls, also Beck. Anything you want to hear, 989-9105. I got you right now. It's In Excess in Zone 105.
Yeah.